joining us right now on the G&M Family Market phone line. It's Pat Callahan of News Center Maine. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Rich. How you doing?
We're doing well, thank you. Where's my check? Where's my kickback from News Center?
We'll see that you get a coffee mug. How about that?
Oh, that would be fantastic. I would love that. You're here this afternoon to join us and talk about a really special event that's coming up tomorrow night as part of a continuing series of forums that News Center has put together on school violence called Listen to Me. Last month, you had a chance to speak with young people, and this time around, it's adults, school administrators, school nurse, counselors, retired teachers, and school resource officers. That's a conversation that more people and more communities need to have.
Yeah, it's a really interesting conversation as well. A month ago, we had 11 high school students from around the state, and what they had to say was really eye-opening about the concerns they've grown up with since Columbine. This is a generation that has grown up with school shootings as a sad, unfortunate reality. And so, you know, their focus was not surprisingly, was on trying to keep these weapons of mass destruction, if you will, these kinds of weapons out of schools. When you talk to the adults, it's a less emotional discussion, but the fact is it's just as sincere because it's something that's on their minds every day as well. For example, one of the gentlemen that we have on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, his name is Ray Freeve. He's superintendent in Guilford and Sangerville. 10 years ago, he was the superintendent at Stockton Springs when, as you'll recall, the school was taken hostage by a gunman. And he tells that story and explains, well, we had a plan in place and we followed it. And thank heavens, everything worked out okay. No one was hurt. We have a couple of police officers. One is the police chief in Freiburg. The other is Sergeant Dan Stewart, who's the school resource officer at Hamden High School. And, you know, he's a guy, really interesting point of view. He started out, he's been officer friendly in schools, and he's done the DARE program. So he knows a lot of these kids already. So when he came to this job, you know, he's somebody that he has a good rapport with the kids. It's important that if you're going to have a school resource officer, that it's somebody that students can feel comfortable talking to. And if they have a problem or a concern, that they'll come to you and tell you about it. You're not there to bust them for smoking in the boys' room or something. It's really a different kind of way of doing policing. So that's just part of where we're going tomorrow night.
And you know, this is my 29th year of being a public school teacher, and I love what I do, but never in my training was I told that at some point I may be asked to take a bullet for a student. But that's the reality that educators, and it's not just teachers, it's anybody, any adult in a school building faces. And that certainly has changed the way we approach our jobs.
Yeah, and of course, the idea is, what can you do to make the schools safer? Not too surprisingly, both of the police officers said we should have airport-style metal detectors, magnetometers, all of that at the schools. Keep the guns out. That's their job one, and that perfectly makes sense. But you're dealing with a lot of rural communities in Maine where people have a community feeling in their schools, and they don't necessarily want that as part of what they do. So, you know, the debate becomes what kind of resources are available, who should pay for that, but ultimately who gets to make the decision, and it's about local control. But, you know, you mentioned teachers don't come into this job thinking they're going to have to take a bullet someday. One of the superintendents, he had said when he talked to his students, to his teachers about the idea, would they like to see teachers be armed? There's a guy named Frank Boynton. He's the superintendent at Millinocket. And he said the question he asked them was, this question never even occurred to me, it was, could you shoot a student? And it's pretty chilling to think about, but the fact is that's a strong possibility. If there were ever an armed gunman in a school, it might well be a student, as it was in Parkland, Florida. And so, you know, these things, it seems simple enough to say, well, sure, let's just make sure we have teachers with guns, but it's never a simple matter.
And I'm sure you found out, too, in these conversations that, it is about guns, but it's about more than just guns, and communication is so important. But I think it's also interesting that you've got a school nurse and a school counselor on this panel, because that's an area where I think all schools can do a better job identifying students of concern and students who are in trouble, and we see that often at very early ages.
Yeah, and they'll tell you that they clearly need more resources in public schools for that purpose alone. I mean, there are laws about having to watch out for the mental health of students. The question is, you know, do you have enough people who can make that their job? Those observations that have to be made, and you know, it is pretty eye opening to me to talk with them about why they think there is more violence in schools these days. And one of the things that they single out, Jennifer Waterman, who's a guidance counselor in Richmond, the high school and middle school, she blames in part social media. And all the students we talked with a month ago also told us that social media can do more harm than good for students. So in the school in Richmond, Jennifer said that they have middle school students they can't use their phones in school during the day. And, you know, that's the kind of approach, too, that I think a lot of other school departments are probably going to want to take a look at and figure out, is that a good way to go to take a little bit of the pressure off students to have to worry about that aspect of their lives? Let's come to school and focus on our personal relationships and the learning that we want to do and getting out of here safely, and then what you do in your own time is up to you.
Hi, Pat. This is Bruce Pratt. I was thinking that it's a lot like the if you see something, say something. I teach at the university, and I do deal with young people who say, you know, when I was in high school, this guy was crazy or this girl seemed nuts, but I never wanted to say anything about it. Does that start at home or does that start in school, where we start to educate parents to teach their kids to, if you think it's going to be bad, say something?
Ultimately, it's probably everybody's responsibility. And the schools will tell you, this gets back to the idea of trust. And you build relationship with the students. And we're fortunate in Maine where we have a lot of small schools where you do have a chance to get to know the kids there. And so if there's something wrong, either they'll come to you or someone will come to you and say, listen, there's something you might want to ask this person about. They seem to be having some trouble at home or whatever it is. And you hope that no one wants to be accused of being a narc or dropping a dime on somebody. But, you know, you want to be able to have people feel comfortable to go to someone in a position of authority and say, this is something you probably ought to look into.
We're talking with Pat Callahan of News Center Maine. Listen to Me, a forum on school violence tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pat, as you talked with students and now talking with adults, we've never had a school shooting in Maine. You mentioned the Stockton Springs incident, which is about as close as we've come. Is there among either of those groups a sense of inevitability?
Well, I don't know that you'd call it inevitable, but you can't help but be aware of the possibility. Anybody who says, oh, it can't happen here, is fooling themselves. And, you know, it only takes one person to have enough things go wrong and decide they want to take it out on someone. You know, when we did the forum with the students a month ago, one of the pieces of video that we showed them was done by our sister station out in Denver with an adult, I think he's in his mid-30s now, talking about how when he was in high school, he was so depressed and felt so put down that he wanted to get a gun and take some people out. He said it had nothing to do with those other students. It was really about me having no self-esteem. Things worked out better for him, first because he didn't have access to a gun, second because a student happened to reach out to him and through an act of kindness, make him realize, well, no, things aren't as bad as I thought. But, you know, it's the smallest things sometimes that can go unnoticed.
Well, there's no question about that. And that's why these lines of communication have to remain open. This is your second forum. Will there be more?
It's a good possibility. And, you know, we want to make sure, as this is an ongoing discussion, we want to make sure that everybody feels represented because there are a lot of points of view. We had a guy, a teacher on last night, on our 5 o'clock newscast, who was talking about he thinks teachers should be armed, and yet he felt uncomfortable saying so publicly. He didn't want his identity known. It tells you something about how there are people who feel that is a good approach to take, and others, many who don't. Now, when we asked this group of seven people, as we say, with teachers and police officers and administrators, none of them thought arming teachers was a good idea. That doesn't mean that there aren't others who think it is. So, you know, we're going to continue to reach out and try to hear from different voices, because ultimately there is no one answer to making our schools safer. And that's the goal here, to try to get people talking about things that might actually make a difference. So, you know, let's face it, we've all been there. It's hard enough to be in high school already without worrying about someone shooting at you.
Wait, was there a difference, Pat, in the two groups in their reaction to what's happening with the Parkland survivors and the movement that these students have generated around the country?
Generally speaking, I think they're impressed by the student activism of one of the superintendents, Frank Boynton. He recalled marching during the Vietnam era, and you know, so there's for people like that, they respect what the students are trying to do. Now, they don't know what the answer is, and the students themselves will tell you, we don't really know what the answer is. We just want those who are in charge to start being serious about making some changes, and really that's all you can do. But the key will be if the students follow through, and they've promised that they will, that this is not going to go away. They said they're tired of being quiet about it. So we certainly have not heard the end of it.
Listen to me tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on News Center Maine. Pat, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for checking in with us this afternoon, and thanks for the great work that everybody there has done on this.
It's my pleasure, Rich. Thank you.